It's good to see all of you, and I can see some new faces. Would you take a couple of minutes, all right, and just go and say hello to someone? If you are in United Church, they say Pastor Peace, all right? That's what you do. You just say, hey, peace, blessing. Pat can show you how to do it, all right? So would you like to just move around? There's some new faces, so kind of make them feel at home. There's a family from India at the back. All right, please have a seat. Let me read something to you and see whether you can pick it up, as in where in the Bible, all right? Not very tricky. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. That one I have to work hard on. It is not irritable or resentful. Oh, Lord, help me. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Where's that from? Oh, all right, blessing, you a blessing. There's going to be a price, all right? A prize up in heaven, all right? Out of this world. All right. How many of you want that? Want the love thing, Maria? Come on, keep up, Maria. A bit slow here. Most of us would, eh? Is that right? Do we want love or not? That's that kind of love. See? We do. Carried us, anyway. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Okay, now it says, pursue love and earnestly, eagerly desires the spiritual gift. What does that mean? Pretty much equal. Pursue love and eagerly, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Isn't it? If we agree that love is good and we should pursue it, Paul is saying, hey, spiritual gifts. So my suggestion is pursue fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And he break it up in Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, thank you. All right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. But also spiritual gifts. And what's the spiritual gift? All right. Word. No. Behave. Behave. Okay. Nikki says, set you out. Sinbin. All right. It's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles. What else? Prophecy, yeah, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of the Spirit, and working of miracles. That's what God say, pursue it. And in the context of 1 Corinthians, we get to practice it. So we're going to do that. All right? We're going to do that. Not scary stuff. This is a safe place, but I like to suggest make it a brave space. Be brave and step out. The Holy Spirit is here. If you look around, okay, most of us are like, oh, so small. You know, not many people here. I can't even hide. You know, everybody know each other. You know, so Samuel, 1 Samuel, God looks at the heart, but we look at the appearance. All right? We are small and significant, and the Spirit is here. Shall we try that? All right? We do it out of love. That's what Paul is suggesting. Pursue love and earnestly, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Love in action means you want to bring spiritual gifts to others. And prophecy is learning to listen to God and like, oh, wow, this is what you're doing. This is what you're saying. And then stepping out, because human, we are all human beings, need personal contact to know about who God is. We are the face of God. Jesus was the face of God while he was on earth. But now we are it. All right? So let's do it. All right? I'm going to pray. Simply, whatever comes to your heart, you're like, ah, oh, got no idea whether this is a word of wisdom or knowledge or prophecy. You just put up your hand. And if you want to come out, you can come out. If you don't want to, it's like, hey, Toh, I think I got this. All right? That's how it works. You can come out if you want to. I'm explaining. Love is patient. For those who doesn't know, she's actually my wife. Actually, all right? We've been living together for 35 years. As you can see, our communication is like, whoo. All right, I'm going to pray. All right? So this is going to be a fun, safe, and brave space. All right? Step out in boldness. And God can speak to any one of us. In the Bible, Old Testament, God speaks to a donkey and use a donkey to speak. I'm not saying any of you are donkeys. All I'm saying is we are qualified. All right? I'm qualified. Okay, God, we thank you. We are your children. I know it's fun because you look at your children and you just love us hanging out with you and really having fun and having a go. So there's sacredness in having fun, the childlike curiosity, the childlike faith that you just love. So that we don't want to be too old and adult and complicated. We just want to come childlike now and just say, Lord, you give good gifts. You are a good, good father. So if we ask for the Spirit, you're not going to give a snake or a scorpion. So now, Lord, we come and say, come, Holy Spirit. Would you bless us with the fruit of Spirit, the love? We want to pursue that. Would you also bless us to know how to know about and use your spiritual gifts? And give us the courage, Lord, to step out in faith, and again, childlike curiosity, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you want to come up and like, hey, I got something to share. It can be from your experience. It can be like, oh, yesterday I ate a pizza and I was thinking about this. All right. And have a go at it. Who would like to have a go? Lion the Braveheart from UK. I think there's only one UK man here. Let me look around. Oh, England, sorry, to be specific. Anyone? Oh, Steve. You must be from England, the lion heart.
I am from England, yes. So when I came in today, I thought, so yesterday we got together at a retreat. Yeah, and we were practicing listening to God's word and bringing words for other people. Which I thought was a really, really good time. Yeah, it was nice just because we got together and we actually just had time to actually get to know some people I didn't know. And yeah, I enjoyed that part of it. And for me, it's something that I used to do. I used to listen to God a little bit better than I do at the minute. And I think that was the one thing I took away from yesterday is being obedient is really important. But you can't be obedient unless you're actually listening to what God wants you to do. And it's not something I've ever found easy because I used to, at work I would share things. It never got to the point where I found it really comfortable because, you'd share with people and people would just look at you like, this guy's a complete lunatic. But sometimes it had an impact, and I saw good things from it and people come to church and, just today when I came in, I thought, well, I should ask the Holy Spirit for anything that, he wants me to share. And I got a picture straight away of a unicorn running on a beach. It is, which is... yes, the national animal of Scotland
They've got a mic.
It's not a lion, and it's not even a haggis, it's actually a unicorn, So I don't know if that's for anyone here, but that's the picture I saw, a unicorn running along the sand along the edge of the beach in the surf. So I thought I'd just share that, and it might be completely random.
Unicorn on the beach.
On the beach, yep.
Okay. And surf.
Yep, just running through the surf.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anything else?
No, I will.
All right. So Steve mentioned about being obedient. Part of being obedient is like, so let me say something, all right? We know from the Bible, we're not meant to grieve the Holy Spirit, all right? We all agree. And then we're also not meant to quench the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference? The grieving is you kind of know the right thing to do, and you're kind of like, nah, I don't care. Quenching is more you ignoring the prompting of the Spirit. So Steve just stepped out. Unicorn, on the beach, on the surf. Most rational people is like, what's that? So I don't know either. All right? So we're going to leave it at that, but it's quite simple. If you kind of like, okay, you like the beach, you like the surf, all right, that's common. But to have the unicorn there, that's where you kind of like, extraordinary. And ask God, what does that mean? All right, for Nikki, straight away is like,
Scottish National Anthem.
So you flow with that. It's like, Scottish. Is there a unicorn in Scotland? Yeah. So this is how you roll. You ask God, this is natural. Now you're moving to supernatural. Unicorn. What else is in Scotland? There's myth. What else is in Scotland? I know. Things that big, like unicorn.
No, they're not real. Just
okay.
Like the Loch Ness Monster's not real.
Okay. All right. Then you break it down, all right? what is unicorn for most people? Is it a good thing or bad thing? Yeah, it's a horse with it. Yeah, is that a good thing though? So some shake hands. Okay. So what it means is, all right, for me, if you have a dream or something, it's an interpretation which is personal perspective. You don't go to a book and say, oh, unicorn, the Bible say, you're not going to find one. So it's just the impression and all that. I'm going to leave it at that because that's a tricky one. You know, it's not ordinary kind of picture, seeing a unicorn on the beach with a surf. Was the unicorn surfing? No, okay. Anyone else? I'm not having a fun. I'm really trying to teach you it's not that hard because God wants it. It's in the scripture. As a young Christian, 16-year-old, I read that. I like, I want that, Lord. So I've been prophesying since I was 16. Not when I became a pastor. You know, when I go to Cafe Maria and I do that with tech team, you know, we see a waitress, you know, if she smile at us, we smile back. And then if she smile again, that's my cue. You know, it's that easy. Because it's out of love. You need to remember, all the people I pray who are non-Christian, even Muslim, they're like, wow, what was that? You know? And then some, you know, because I look like Mr. Miyagi, they're like, oh, do I need to give you money? No, 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 free. Free, out of love. Anyone else want to try? Pastor Maria, you're the boss, man.
So when you ask this, I was, you know, asking the Lord. So I often get, when the Lord speaks to me, I often get pictures as well in my mind. So I got a picture of this fantastic looking yacht out on the high seas and just going for it, you know. And once I get a picture, then I ask the Lord, well, what's all that about? You know, what is it you're trying to say through that? And the sense that I got was that yacht looks absolutely fantastic, doesn't it? Absolutely. And it's looking fantastic because its sails are all the way up and the wind is blowing right into that sail and it's going and it's powerful and it's spectacular. And it's doing exactly what it was created for. And so I sense through that each one of you here are absolutely spectacular. And the Lord has designed you to be fully you. And when you're fully you in the Lord, that means we are filled with His Spirit. And He wants us to be full of His Spirit, be open to what the Spirit's doing in our lives, that we would just be propelled effortlessly through life, and we will look glorious. And that's not a selfish or a vain thing. When we're looking glorious, it's giving glory to God because we are living and being just as God created you to be.
Pastor Maria, I want to ask. Maria, yes, Maria.
Thank you.
All right, we're doing a bit of clinic time, all right?
Sure.
So Steve came out very brave, lion heart, you know, unicorn on the beach, surf. Mm. All right, that was it. He was be obedient to that little thing he
yes.
shared.
That's good.
Maria came out. Da, 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 da. And then more story, which is interpretation of what she got. All right? So that's normal because she's a pastor. She has lots of practice. So you know what I mean? But it's her interpretation. So we don't say, thus say the Lord.
Yes, I sense right? that God's saying this.
Yeah.
Sense. Yeah.
Because it's her interpretation. And then you hear it. you have to filter it like, yes, that was weird. But some of you might like, unicorn. I like unicorn. You know, whatever it is, you take it in your heart. Uh-huh. You don't, all right, let me read this scripture. Thank you. Let me read you this scripture. Whatever I do, I can find scripture that's saying, okay, this is what I'm talking about. So 1 Thessalonians 5, it starts off with 16. I'll start off with 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Rejoice. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then the next verse, which can be weird, do not quench the spirit. Which means if you are rejoicing and you're praying continuously, means you are in a zone to listen to God, because you can't move your mouth 24/7 or 24 hours, can you? But you're in that zone, you are in listening zone. And you're giving thanks in all circumstances, like, praise you, Lord, I can see your hand there. You know, I'm rejoicing because you're so good. And that's what prayer is. You know, someone like, say, yesterday in our table, which is Sam, you know, worship first. Oh, Father, you're so good. Hallowed be thy name. Then you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, but you're already in a place of worship. So it say, do not quench the spirit. And then it say, do not despise prophecy, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. That's it. Hold fast to what is good. So unicorn, beach, surf, only because you say it first, all right? Not because it's, you know, I'm not making it as a sort of example. You know what I mean? You're like, okay. You know, for Chinese, unicorn doesn't mean anything. Scottish, you know what I mean? It's a mythical thing. So it might be more for European. It's like, oh, unicorn. Always love horse. And with a horn, Okay. So do not treat prophecy with contempt. Prophecy is not thus say the Lord. Prophecy is God wanting to speak to you. And prophecy, if I teach people about prophecy, is listening to God. It's not the talking. It's the listening. And all of us can listen to God because we are his child. Anyone else want to have a go? All right, I'm going to pick, all right, because Ethan is smiling at me. Ethan is my friend. Come out, Ethan. Have a go. He's a brave man. So what we're going to do, Ethan, is here and now, because you already given me a word yesterday, all right? So what's the impression in your heart? So this is a clinic time, so don't think too hard. That's not too hard for you, isn't it? Okay. What I'm saying is, say what's from your heart, and I'll do the interpretation.
Well, I actually keep getting a picture of, it's a story from the Bible, though. Yep. So it's
It's allowed if you use the Bible.
Yeah, good. I always feel safe doing that. But it came up yesterday, and it came up again today, actually. And I was asking God for a picture there, and it was what I loved about yesterday. There was no pressure, and there was a lot of space to say, yeah, I'm just not getting anything. And then in return too, like if someone gives you something, I'm not sure how that fits, but we appreciate it. And maybe it has relevance later on, you know. But the story is right before the prophet Elisha dies. It's in Elisha with, I think, 2 Kings, and it's where the man, so I just keep getting this picture of one of the kings of Israel banging the ground.
Not enough,
that's right. And so he's told, hit the ground, God wants to give this brilliant victory through you. So bang the ground. Bangs the ground three times, and then the man of God gets angry at him, saying, you should have done it six times. Because if you'd done it six times, then God would have given a total victory, but now he's only going to give a partial victory. So that I just keep seeing that picture of hitting the ground and with those arrows. Yeah, really going for it.
All right. Practice again, all right? Try interpretation now.
Interpretation.
So you look at the people now and you say, hey, I think this is for you.
Yeah, okay.
But you can just throw it out. Some people will pick it. So try interpretation, like what Maria, just flow with it and, you know. So what do you think God is saying through that picture, through that story, for the people now, right here, right now?
I think whenever God, here's the sense I get, especially when we're all practicing wanting to hear from God. There's always a lot of room kind of to, in terms of the possibilities when we're trying to figure it out. And so in that case there with the story, he just said hit the ground. He didn't even say hit it multiple times in the first place. So I'm thinking for myself.
Yeah.
If I was in that space, I would have just hit it once, let alone three times, right? But something in the king, he had this sense that he needed to do it multiple times, but he didn't actually have any reason to think that. That was just totally between him and God and the way the man of God had shared it with him. And so since he didn't do it enough, I actually want to, you know, say an encouragement to Steve. Something that we can't prove, to actually, like, if we do sense God's putting that on our heart, kind of like, get fully behind it, just throw our all into it. I almost think the Apostle Peter was very similar to this. He just, you know, and he often messed up. He often messed up and he got chastised by Jesus a lot of times. But he ended up being the rock. He ended up preaching and 3,000 people getting saved. And so not having fear and making mistakes, not understanding, not having any rational reason to think a certain thing, yet if God's putting that on the heart, hit the ground six times, go all the way.
All the way. That's the key. All the way.
Do you always do this to people when they first visit your church?
Yeah. I do. Marie doesn't. I do. I do. Yeah. No, have a seat. All right. Okay. All right. So Old Testament biblical story. So I'm going to not give the interpretation, but sort of a general application of it. All right. The king, the prophet, and the action. All right. Then it's about enemy. And the symbol of striking on the ground is not how many times, because there was no instruction from the prophet to say, hey, hit it 100 times, isn't it? So prophecy is not an inevitable thing. It's an invitation. So when you hear something, you know, like something, you ask God for more. You pursue it because God will only give you a bit. The word is the lamb unto the feet, you know. When we were young, we used to play lantern, you know, the mooncake, just holding it, small lantern, and that's all you can see step by step. But it's also light unto the path. But only when you take the step, you get more. But God is not giving you the blueprint. You know, so you need to pursue it. You need to keep persistent. So my suggestion is, if there you think there's a personal enemy coming after you, one smash is not enough. God say, keep smashing until they disappear. Now, why is God so ruthless? Because evil is terrible. The devil is tricky. He came to destroy and get everything of your inheritance. Not only that, if he stop you, he will stop your generation. So that's why God in the Old Testament smash them, kill them, because if you don't, then your children will suffer. They have to put up with a bigger enemy, bigger Goliath. You know, some people say, do you know why David have 5 stones when there's only 1 Goliath? Anyone know the answers? That's right. David was ready. I'll knock the first one. If more come, that's why he got the extra stones. The enemy is the enemy. Brothers and sisters are not. That's why it's not about flesh and blood. We have to go after it. We are in a warfare. Yes, I'm making this light, but spiritual gift is like that. You know, discerning of the spirit, when you walk in a room, it's like, oh, wow, what's going on? You know, just talking to Nikki, a couple of friends from Bendigo, I say, oh, Bendigo, I've been there. There's a few Chinese there before, isn't it? And Scottish and Chinese are quite similar, so she wasn't being racist, but it's like, oh, yeah, there's quite a lot of spiritual stuff there. But that's the kind of stuff that the devil put in, and we have to take authority. That's why spiritual gift is so powerful, and it's all about love. It's not about you. If you want to bless someone with the greatest love, heavenly blessing is the power. Money, you know, your prayer, your word of prophecy, your word of wisdom. When you pray, it's like, God, I don't know how to pray for this person. And then you read Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, 26, say, yeah, you don't know how to pray, isn't it? That's why I send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will pray on your behalf of your weaknesses. In fact, the Holy Spirit actually know who God is, God's will, and he will pray through you, all right? But again, we need to be open and say, Lord, I'm available to pray 24/7, anytime. And then, if you don't have 26 and 26, 27, you don't get 28. Everybody go for 28. Romans 8, 28. Who knows that?
All things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purposes.
That's right. You don't get that if you don't go through 26 and 27. Or somebody go through that for you. That's what intercession is. You kind of stand in the gap. It's like, oh, poor someone. I don't want to name anyone. And then you pray. You know? That's where the praying in tongue comes in. You're like, got no idea. English, Chinese, Malayu. Don't know. Then you kind of, that's a prayer language. And you know what? Praying in the spirit, praying in tongue. Again, if you understand what Paul say, you speak mystery unto God. That's a perfect language. That's a perfect prayer. That's why tongue is such a complication in churches, because the devil again attack that. If you pray in tongues, the devil doesn't understand what you're talking about. Only God, direct. That's why the prayer is perfect. That's why if you read Romans 8, 26, 27 again, it's like, oh, I'm groaning, man. I don't know what to say. And then you go, blah, 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 you know. So I'm not a crazy Pentecostal. I'm just someone who loves the Bible and use the Bible for today. I don't care about church tradition. Most of you know that. That's why I get myself in trouble saying the wrong thing in different church. Anyone else before we go to the next song? I know why you're here. because Steve got up. No, no. All the best for the Scotland.
Nothing to do with Steve.
No.
No, I just wanted to pick up on what you were saying about the spiritual warfare. I just feel like over about the last month or so that God is really challenging me that every day I need to pray the armor of God over me and keeps reminding me about, and you started it saying, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities. And I really feel like there's this ramping up of spiritual warfare, and we need to be really aware of it. And and you were kind of touching on it, but just to say that God's been really speaking to me about that as well. Got it on my phone. What you
Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 start off with be strong in the power of. All right. So in that passage, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of the might. Then it go on to say, put on the armor of God. So finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of the might. And then it's the last part that I only picked up. Then it says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. Again, pray at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? You have to ask God, because if you pray and you're not praying in the Spirit, you might be missing out, which means you're praying from your flesh, from what you know. Praying in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. So part of my role is to bring people out and stretch them a bit. Okay? Just a bit. All right? Not much. So can you pray for us?
Even I just want to pick up as well on that about praying in the Spirit. I grew up in a church that was very anti-Holy Spirit. And I remember being at a prayer conference and they were really saying, you know, it's so important to pray in the Spirit. And even though when I received the Holy Spirit and I knew I had that ability for tongues, in my head, logically, it didn't work. I was like, I can't do this. Like, it's not right. But I just remember spending some time with somebody and had that realization that it's actually really powerful to pray in the Spirit. And like you said as well, like the importance of that spiritual warfare when you don't have the words to say that God, the Holy Spirit gives you the words.
Yeah.
And you're fighting in that spiritual realm. So, anyway.
So just pray for us.
Yeah, Father God, I just I thank you that you give us the gifts and that you want to empower us all to do the work that you've called us to do. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do stretches and that you take us out of our comfort zone. And I pray for every person that's here today, Holy Spirit, that you just come and that you just encounter every single person. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us a language to connect with the Father when there is this warfare going on. And I pray that you just open our spiritual eyes and ears, that you just enlighten us, that you help us to see things that we don't think that is around us, that you make us more aware and that you just open our eyes, Father, that we can see. But you're the one that guides us and that you just, you give us the right words like when the apostles in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came out, they had that boldness. And I pray for your boldness on everybody that's here today, that you just come and you help us to speak. And when we see stuff, give us that, that boldness that we wouldn't have had. And I just pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a couple of songs of worship, and then we're going to have communion. We do communion every Sunday. But during communion time, again, ask God, like, hey, can I give a word of encouragement to someone? And so you can do it on your own, or you can do it as in picking up the juice and Vicky, and go to someone and say, hey, I just want to share communion with you. All right? So just be prepared for that. Maria is going to lead us in a couple of songs.